This is KJZZ's Here and Now in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. On November 30th, Phoenix-based TGen, or the Translational Genomics Research Institute, announced a new alliance with City of Hope in the goal of making precision medicine a common thing for patients. Precision medicine is being considered more for cancer and rare genetic diseases. The concept of TGen originated in 2002 and has been a part of the downtown Phoenix landscape since 2004. I went to TGen's offices to talk with President and Research Director Dr. Jeffrey Trent, Chief Operating Officer Tess Burleson, and Associate Professor Dr. Kendall Van Curen Jensen. I started the conversation by asking Dr. Trent what the new alliance between TGen and City of Hope will mean going forward.
Yeah, so over the past 15 years, TGen has become a recognized leader in genomic research, especially for patient benefit. And this has included our focusing on the generation of tools and technologies to understand the cause of a genetic disorder or complex disease, also to translate that information to whether a patient would respond or not respond to a given therapy, and then to try to translate that information into a new test or treatment. So in announcing the partnership and alliance with the City of Hope, we're partnering with one of the nation's premier medical systems, one that for the past 115 years has served the largest and most diverse patient population in the United States and the LA area, and one that we think will benefit both high-risk populations but also identify targets for prevention, treatments, and advancing initiatives in health equity.
Now, TGen is so associated with Arizona, with the Valley. I presume this means this is just part of other partnerships that TGen has made. Because some people have said, well, does this mean we're losing something? We're going to lose something with the corridor and whatnot.
So the leadership, the focus, the effort, the individuals that have been so critical to make TGen a focus here in Arizona remain in Arizona and remain focused on our partnerships that we have both here in the state, but of course around the country and around the world. This allows us to scale those, particularly and especially inside this remarkably diverse and large geographic and population center in the LA area in concert with City of Hope.
Tess, let's talk a little bit about economic impact. First of all, can you give me some numbers? But beyond that, how has the impact changed over perhaps the past decade or so as TGen has expanded?
TGen has had external independent groups come in and look at what we've done in terms of economic impact for the state, starting with the first one in 2006 and then periodically a few years apart, most recently finishing one in 2015 this past year. There's different returns. So one would be just back to the general fund based on what the state gives and tax revenues, what goes directly back. And that number is 2-1. That's just cash right back in. Then there is the economic return for what TGen operations, the research operation itself does. So anything that's been spent in the state of Arizona would be included in that calculation. If something was purchased from a manufacturer outside of the state, that's excluded from the calculation. And those numbers were closer to 46.5. dollars for every $1 invested by the state. And when we include then the commercialization efforts that we've had in as of the last report, that number jumps up to $174 million annually, which is significantly more than we've ever had before. And that is 86% growth since the first time we had this done in 2006.
Why does the financial impact make sense? Why does that have to be part of the whole equation?
Well, we've been very fortunate to have the state and the community, the city, many of the community members and civic leadership in the state really focus on getting TGen to the community here. So Arizona is our home. Arizona community has been very invested in our success, and we have promised economic development. Research is discovery, and in order for those discoveries to translate the most broadly for patient impact, they have to be commercialized. So we sit in a really nice applied and translational space, and that space really allows us to really rapid fire, and I like to say on the fly, although there's not really on the fly research, we can on the fly adjust technologies that are as they improve and include them into clinical trials and clinical research and applied research so that we could see the benefit for a broader population and then move to have those things pushed out into the commercialization through partnerships, licensing arrangements, and commercial spinouts. We've had about 16 of those since inception.
There's been a lot of focus on concussions. People have focused a lot on football, young athletes, whether it's young soccer players or whatnot. And you've been doing some research into that as far as, can we figure out whether someone is more likely to get a concussion, whether that concussion is going to be more dramatic. Can you give us some background on that research?
Yeah, so we've been working a lot with Arizona State University and Barrow Neurological Institute and Banner Concussion Center, collecting information from people who have had traumatic brain injuries or even these subconcussive blows that the football team generally gets during repeat practice and games. And we've also got another pronged approach where we're looking at severe traumatic brain injuries in the pediatric population with Phoenix Children's Hospital. And together, all of these projects, we're getting closer to being able to diagnose predictors of injury, downstream problems, and hopefully we can also participate in some of the upcoming projects that are going on across Arizona where people are looking at the eventual accumulation of some of these injuries that lead to long-term effects for retired football players and others. These are really important projects that we're excited about continuing to work on and bringing in information from the City of Hope to look at some of these very specific RNAs and different molecules that we've found in some of these tests that they're sort of the experts in.
So. When we think about how we're all so different, I mean, each one of us has an individual genome sequence, everything else. How different can a brain react to this sort of trauma? I mean, are there some people who could have multiple concussions and maybe not be affected by it for decades, and others are affected by it almost rapidly?
Yeah, we see dramatic differences between groups. So depending on the age of the population, depending on how the injurious event occurred, different things associated with that, we can get very different outcomes. And then trying to manage those outcomes and make them better for the patient is really what we're after.
And can males and females be different? Are the brains that different, or can that be, can certain females have very similar brains to men as far as how they could be affected by concussion?
There needs to be more research done on the male-female gender differences, but absolutely, people find that, for instance, women soccer players are more affected by, you know, head injuries than male soccer players. That probably has to do with their physiology, but yes, there are differences for sure.
There has been talk about whether there has been enough support given, especially after the Great Recession, to research institutions, to whatever it may be, the biosciences. There's always been that phrase of winners and losers and whatnot. How closely do you have to follow this sort of thing when there's a leadership change? We had a new governor relatively recently. There's going to be a new legislative group in there. How important is it for you to keep track of what's going on there to see if TGen and other groups can make more advances in these areas?
It's very important. We try very hard to make sure that those groups that really provide support to TGen, including the state and other a lot of donors across the valley here and around the world, really, to make sure they understand what we're doing with those dollars and things like the return on investment analysis that we've done and reporting. We have no problem being very transparent about what we're working on, what we're trying to achieve, how we might adjust course if we're going to, when you're discovering, you don't know what you're going to find or what you're not, how you adjust course along the way, and try to keep them very engaged because it is important for them to see that they are putting those dollars to good use. And when you can do an ROI, when you can say, look, here's what we said we do and here's what we did, I'm very proud to say TGen has always kept its promises that we've made. We've always delivered on those promises. So it's good.
Well, I think at the national level, there's been a flattening and, in fact, with inflation, a decrease in funding for biomedical sciences over almost the past 10 years. Just this year, we're seeing the likelihood that at the federal level, there'll be an investment into the National Institutes of Health, the major funder of biomedical research, that it looks like both sides of the aisle plan to support. Many other states, California, Texas, Colorado, many of our neighboring supports also have increased their funding for initiatives like stem cell research as well as other aspects. And I do think that it's important for Arizona to look at how we build here additional capabilities, especially around the exciting new developments of new medical schools, new buildings, new faculty coming on board, now the expansion of TGen here in Arizona even further. This is an incredibly important element of our economy and especially the knowledge-based workforce.
The Flynn Foundation has had their biosciences roadmap for a number of years, and things indicate that moving in a positive direction. Do you think enough of the public knows about that from the standpoint that when it comes to sort of whether it's simple or more complicated than that?
There is a lot more that can be done. I think the biggest thing, things don't happen serendipitously, I don't think sometimes. TGen really took a leadership role and the community said, look, we want to do something no one else is doing. So applying these tools to patient care is was considered crazy, I think, at the time. As recently as 2010, the head of the NCI was saying, this is a great way, genomics is a great way to do research. And then, you know, 5 years later, Obama's saying, hey, precision medicine initiative's coming out, right? So we really have been pioneers in this space. And I'd really like to see us continue to lead. But now you're seeing communities all over the country jumping in, and it's much more commonplace now to see precision medicine capabilities. And I would really love to see the community here continue to pursue and lead the field as we have done in the past. I think this is a great opportunity for Arizona to stay relevant in this space and leading it.
Does the narrative continue to be, though, that the valley, that Arizona is behind San Diego, is behind Boston, whatever it may be? And is that a fair narrative? Was it at one point? It's not anymore?
Oh, no, it's a fair narrative. We see percentage increases that are still many-fold beyond Boston, Seattle, San Diego. But the incredible part is, again, if you track hard numbers, number of jobs, number of new companies and others, and even if you look at some of the publications suggesting that innovation and entrepreneurs are moving to Arizona, this is also happening in the biomedical sciences. So it took decades for those centers to grow. It's taken us, really it's only been about 15 years since TGen got here. So we're still on a growth curve and excited to see where this next decade takes us.
Yeah, those percentages, when you have a larger base to start with, it's harder to have a high growth rate. But when you're small, when you start with, you know, very little, as Arizona did 15 years ago, those percentages can be still high, but then you still are very far behind in terms of the volume as opposed to the growth. So we'll get there.
Professor, we talk a lot about business collaborations and whatnot. When at the research level, I presume folks in the research level want to work together because they want to get to things. Is that can that be fairly smooth if people are sort of fitting together in some way as parts of the puzzle?
Yeah, so there are quite a few initiatives across Arizona right now around brain health. And the NIH is even making this a national initiative, you know, to really look at, you know, the number of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients as the aging population occurs. And Arizona has really made a footprint in that, is really trying to go after that. And I think that the things that we're doing with the City of Hope absolutely play into that and bring us new tools and expertise that we can apply to those things. But as an initiative, all of us want to be able to increase the stuff that we're doing together, and absolutely it can only help. Yeah.
That was TGen Associate Professor Dr. Kendall Van Curen Jensen, along with TGen President and Research Director Dr. Jeffrey Trent and Chief Operating Officer Tess Burleson. We spoke earlier at TGen's offices in Phoenix.